263 miles of rugged coastline, carved in two by the Pacific Ocean. The expanse of the pristine public beaches, fishing villages, old logging towns, lush campgrounds, and colorful tide pools make up the Oregon coast and just some of what it has to offer. Packed with historical sites, including the oldest American settlement west of the Rocky Mountains, the Oregon coast is the setting of various paranormal tales, from phantom hitchhikers and haunted lighthouses to Sasquatch encounters. Most of this beautiful coastline outlining the westernmost edge of the state of Oregon is accessible within a few hours of most metro areas, making this the perfect weekend getaway. Just under 2 hours from Portland is the coastal town of Seaside, Oregon. Paranormal enthusiasts flock to Seaside each year, not only for the Pronto Pups, Saltwater Taffy, and Bumper Cars, but for the annual Oregon Ghost Conference. Founded by Rocky Smith, the conference is held each year around spring break. This year, it played host to over 90 vendors, various speakers, classes, and special events covering an array of paranormal topics and experiences. This is Fright Life, a paranormal podcast, and on this episode, we will discuss the Oregon Ghost Conference.
Hey, welcome to Fright Life. We're your hosts, Joss and Monique.
Hello.
And on this episode, we are discussing our time at the Oregon Ghost Conference.
We had so much fun. It was just a couple of short weeks ago, and we're still kind of reeling over all of the fun things we got to do and all of the great people we got to meet and participate in really cool events with.
The cool thing about the Oregon Ghost Conference is we've been for, this was our third year, and
which is weird in of itself,
right?
Because we should have been going since its creation, but
totally.
For some reason, we just started going a couple of years ago. Year one, we were spectators, and we were like, "Wait a second, we're supposed to be a part of this."
Yeah, we kind of got invited by Rocky to like be involved, and then from there, it was just like, "Oh, also, you should present and have a table and." Like, it's been so cool. But the thing that is just awesome is how much it's grown in just three short years. Like, the first year that we were there, it was very cool. There was lots of vendors and, like, things to see and classes to take. This year, they opened a whole new section of the convention center and filled it with vendors and psychics and...
Yeah.
It was just so cool. And most of the classes that you could sign up for were sold out.
Yeah.
Like, we procrastinated a little bit on signing up for classes. And when we got on to check kind of at the last minute, unfortunately, we found that most of the ones that we were really interested in were booked solid. And that is
it's fantastic. Yeah. And so many were interesting. Like, all of them. I was interested in all of these. Yeah. So it was really cool. I mean, we didn't super procrastinate. It is hard to have a vendor table and be presenters and sign up for all of the events and classes because some of the things are overlapping and you sort of have to be present at your table and networking and all of that. So we did miss out on some things that we really wanted to take part in. Dr. Nelson had a cool like seance theater happening. And hopefully we can join if he does one of those again sometime soon.
Yeah.
But there were some evening events that we got to take part in after we got to close up our vendor table for the day. And we'll talk about those more in depth here in this episode, as well as some investigations. those were pretty epic. So yeah, let's just dive right into it. So day one, we're driving from the Portland area to Seaside, which is an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
It's a breeze.
Yeah.
And luckily this time I packed our merch last year.
By sheer luck.
We showed up and realized that I didn't pack our merch for the show, and I drove home to get it.
In a snowstorm.
In a snowstorm, and almost slid backwards off of a embankment, and it was terrifying. And I don't know. This year was much smoother.
Yeah, it wasn't by luck, though. We did make lists. We were highly organized. I drew up what our table should look like, everything we needed to pack, and that was all ready to go on checklists. So that was more of a utilizing a tool thing than a luck thing. But it was successful. So this time was much less stressful getting there and setting up. If you have ever done conventions of any kind, you'll know there's a lot to even just being a vendor. So I can't imagine Rocky Smith and his team and all that goes into organizing every vendor, every speaker, every class, every event.
Every time we ran into Rocky, he just had this look on his face like he was processing so much information.
Yeah, but it was actually, we don't see that.
Right.
It was very well organized. From a perspective of a speaker and a vendor and a spectator, it seemed smooth and well put together, you know. So, I mean, we know him personally, so we can tell when there's just little, and he's always processing a million things at once. Yeah, that's another thing. But there were a couple of incidents that were interesting. The fire alarm in the convention center went off twice in the weekend, and we had to evacuate. And they were called in and searched the building, and there were rumors that it was somebody burning sage the first time, but I don't know if that was actually verified.
Right.
And then when it happened again, of course, nothing like that was taking place, because they did announce, like, make sure you're not burning anything, no open flame, no candles, nothing like that. And so it was the last day that the alarm went off again.
Yeah.
And they said they couldn't determine a cause. So that's probably the ghosts.
Yeah. We found out that the convention center there is oddly super haunted.
What?
You didn't go on the ghost tour. That's right. Well, we'll talk about that then.
Okay.
You didn't go on that ghost tour because you were not feeling so hot. But it turns out there's been like a ton of activity there from the day that they built the place.
Okay, that's interesting, because the first year we attended, I mentioned that. And I remember Rocky was kind of like, well, I don't know, it's a new building.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's gotten more stories about it since then. Yeah. That's cool. Okay. So day one, we drive to the beach. The weather is much nicer for this drive. We brought along Olivia this time, our daughter, and our nephew, Avery, hoping that they would help man the table while we were networking and, you know, doing the thing.
Yeah.
You know, but they're preteen, teenager age, and so they did not do that very well.
Came to the table to ask for money for snacks,
and
then went back to the hotel to swim. So,
so they had a blast their spring break weekend. But anyway, so we set up. We were booth neighbors with the podcast team for the podcast I Talk to Ghosts. We absolutely love them. Their setup is always so professional and amazing. And so that was a good time to see our booth neighbors from last year.
Yeah, it was cool because, like you said, we boothed next to them last year, and it just worked out that we were right next to them again this year. And I don't know.
It's really cool.
We don't have a lot of interaction with them outside of the Ghost Conference, but, you know, when we saw them, it was very much like, oh, hey, like, good to see you guys. Like, it was, we just kind of picked up where we left off last year.
Yeah, and it's really cool because we're, you know, part of this paranormal community and the podcasting community. And it's interesting, like, a lot of the people we connected with right away in the paranormal podcasting community are in, like, Texas and you know, the southern states, mm-hmm. and we talked to them pretty regularly. Like, we got pretty close with Aaron Deese of Hey Strangeness, mm-hmm. and, you know, so he sort of opened up, you know, his network of people, and we met through him. And so it's interesting that all of these, like, Pacific Northwest people we sort of missed out on, but we've seen them now a couple of years in a row at the mm-hmm. Ghost Conference. We saw Clyde Lewis, and he's fantastic. He's always so much fun to talk to. And just Jefferson Davis.
Yeah, love Jeff Davis. Yeah. He's a good guy.
So, really cool community of people we got to see again. And then we'll talk about some new friends we made here later on.
Oh, and Pete. Paranormal Pete. Oh,
Paranormal Pete. Always a treasure.
So we'll go see Paranormal Pete. He hosts the Port Gamble Ghost Conference in November.
Yeah.
And hopefully this year we'll be able to participate in that and have a table and maybe do a live episode or something. Yes. So that'll be really fun.
Lots of cool stuff coming up. Let's dive into the action of the Ghost Conference here. Let's go.
So the first day we got there, we unloaded. The con actually opened at 3 and then closed at 7. So there wasn't like a whole lot of like con activity for us. It was just kind of set up and say hi to everybody and like talk to the few people who got there kind of early.
And then outline like what we were going to do for the weekend. But we did start off night one with a pretty great event. So one of the big highlights of this year's Ghost Conference was that it featured parapsychologist and mentalist Lloyd Auerbach, who is just the most amazing guy, heavy into research, like one of the OG.
He like wrote the book on ghost investigation. Yeah, that's what I'm saying here. Like he's like literally wrote the book.
Like he was basically Egon and Venkman before that was a thing.
Yeah.
Before they made Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
That's the work he was doing. So really, really cool. I mean, probably not as exciting at that point yet, but
you know, fair.
I mean, Slimer, I don't think he has any Slimer stories, but that's sort of the work he was doing.
Yeah.
You know, the whole like, I've worked in the public sector. They expect results. But he was doing the academic work mm-hmm. in parapsychology.
Yeah.
Before anyone even knew what the hell that was.
Yeah.
So it was amazing to meet him. I'll tell you about my weird. So, okay.
That happened on day two, though.
Yeah. So I was looking forward to meeting him. That's a major highlight. And on night one, he performs as Professor Paranormal. Mm-hmm. Where he shows off his skills as a mentalist, which he is a full believer in paranormal phenomena. And he studies it, researches it scientifically, okay? He's got a degree in this. And he's also a practicing mentalist. Now, that is different because that's not a paranormal thing. That is something where you are trained and highly attuned to reading a person.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's more of like a highly skilled magician.
Yeah. It's,
but it's not really sleight of hand as much. It's like fully reading the subject.
It's so interesting to watch him do it. Cause he will like look at a person and he'll guess, like, I'm going to say the first letter of the name starts with a M and L, like, and he'll go through the alphabet and like hope.
Yeah, there are tiny little tells, right?
It's crazy.
It's so cool. But he does this, so you'd think that those things, that's like the antithesis of mediumship and, you know, telekinesis and, mm-hmm. and all of that that he actually studies and believes are quantifiable phenomena.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but it's not. So, I mean, it is. But he does that to sort of solidify the difference between the two. And he knows, like, that can exist and so can legitimate mediums.
Yeah.
So he studies mediums. He practices as a mentalist. It's really cool.
And his whole thing is kind of like, is it is it telekinesis or am I just using my abilities as a,
yeah,
I don't, that's, but telekinesis, he's like, I'll leave Kyle. It up to you, you know?
Yeah.
But he, oh my God, he was doing this thing where he was like, okay, I'm going to think of something and I'm going to transmit it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person on the stage, like he had people come up that definitely were not plants because Mo went,
I
up
went up. I was
and,
one.
Our
Avery.
Nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
so,
he,
oh, go ahead.
He was like, I'm thinking of a thing and I'm going to transmit it to you. And the person on the stage got it.
Yeah. Like, so the one he did with our nephew, Avery, Avery stayed in his seat, but stood up and Lloyd was on the stage and he had, you know, finger quotes, invisible cards. Mm-hmm. So basically imaginary. And he was like, pick, these are all queens. It's a queen of every suit. You're going to take two of your favorite or whatever. And are you, you're going to pick the red one or the black one. And he's basically doing like a process of elimination where you're kind of got that 50% chance and you lead the direction in a way that the person will perceive kind of, I think, if I'm understanding it right, I would say the trick is that the person is perceiving the last thing you say,
mm-hmm.
you know, like with toddlers, I'm a preschool teacher. So you're yeah. like, do you want this one or do you want this one?
Yeah.
They're going to be like that one, you know, the second one.
Yeah.
Or you can say it in a way where you lead that to happen.
Sure.
So I think that was what that trick was, because then it was a process of elimination. And he's like, now I ended up with this card, and he had an actual physical card that represented which imaginary card Avery was supposed to have chosen.
Yeah.
Anyway, so very cool. That one I can deduce.
Yeah.
I could follow that. I could follow a couple of the ones he did, but it was still really cool. The one where I was called up on stage, I am reeling over this. Okay, you guys. First of all, I was already nervous to meet Lloyd. He's one of my, you know, heroes in this field.
Yeah.
And I go up on stage with another girl in the audience who I don't know. He handed us each a book out of a stack of books. We got to flip through the book and stop at any page. Any page. Mm-hmm. These are chapter books.
Yeah.
And then he said, choose any word on this page. He did this two of us at a time. Different books, different pages, different words.
Yeah.
And we're standing opposite him. And what's weird is I chose a word. I'm really bad at these things because I'm indecisive.
Mm-hmm.
That's another reason. Like, I think that during those little psychic tests that are like on TikTok and things, like, usually the first thing I think I get it correct, but I always change my mind.
Yeah.
Because I'm just indecisive.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to practice not doing that so much. But anyway, so I pick like two words at the beginning and then change it. Oh, a third time while he's talking to this other person.
So it was before he started the process, but yeah. just in your mind, you were like,
I was like, yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah.
Oh no, maybe I'll pick this one.
Sure.
And then I was like, oh no, I found a great one. So he's going through and he's like taking notes and he's like, so your word starts with this letter or maybe has this sound in it, but yours doesn't. And he was just going back and forth between the two of us and writing them down. My word was supernatural. That's the word.
Yeah.
And at first he said, your word starts with a U. No. And he kind of was like going back and forth. And I don't know if that's part of his like shtick about
yeah,
it.
Right.
Or if he really was trying to pick it up because it's, you know, that ooh sound. Supernatural. Mm-hmm. And he even put UP, UP, UP. And he was going, and I was looking down at the book. So I was trying not to give any clues. But, you know, I don't know what he's looking for really.
Right.
But I wasn't making eye contact with him. I was just looking at my word because
yeah.
I was also nervous. And he would start, he would ask yes or no questions. Like, yours starts with U. And I said no. And then he was like, okay, but then yours, and points to the other girl, starts with this. Yours has something to do, he's pointing at me, with like what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And it's the ghost conference and my word is supernatural. And I'm pretty sure I smirked at that, which is obviously a tell.
Yeah.
But you know, out of every word. Like, he doesn't memorize every single word in both of these books, or maybe he does. And then I wish I had his amazing abilities.
But even if he memorized every word in the book, unless he knew the page number and, like, the line number.
Right.
That's not going to help, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was really cool. That one I was like, how? So now I want to train as a mentalist because it's awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool.
And I feel like I'm worried, though, if I trained as a mentalist because I'm so back
you
and forth
those
between.
You would use those powers for evil, for sure.
That's what I was going to say. You know, I'm back and forth between like Jedi or Sith, Disney princess or Disney villain.
Yeah.
I'm right on the line most of the time. So
yeah,
if I had
those. That would kick you over for sure.
Achievements unlocked. All right.
No, but I mean, that was so much fun and the kids loved it.
Yeah.
And it was cool that it was advertised as something that was like for the whole family. Because
yeah.
One thing that we did notice while we were there this year is there was a lot more like younger paranormal enthusiasts coming through with, you know, with their families and stuff. And that's exciting.
Yeah. It was really cool to see. So that was so much fun. I didn't officially meet Lloyd Auerbach that night. I mean, I was on stage with him, but wait till you hear my amazing fumble. It was so dumb. Anyway, so the next day, you know, Avery and Olivia loved it. Did we do an investigation
that
night?
Yeah.
Never mind.
So
we're staying on night one. The whole thing is a blur because
really
you're basically awake. I'm stressed out about our presentation we're going to do, you know, meeting people, all of it is like not for me naturally who I am.
It's so funny because we have all these plans to like, okay, so we're going to do this, 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 and this, and then we're going to stop here and we'll have 2 hours to work on the presentation and then it's going to be fine and everything's going to be good. And then, but then other things come up. And so we thought that we would have time between Lloyd Auerbach's deal and the investigation. And then we were like, oh, well, we got to go get some food and like get the kids settled.
Yeah. Well, and then my like neurodivergent self, you should have seen me handwriting the list and repeating it to Joss so many times. And if I don't like my handwriting, that's like from 6 to 7, we're at this. And then from this to this, we'll order food. Here's which restaurant, pull it up on your phone. Look at the menu. What are we ordering? And then from here to here, we're slotted for this. What time are our tickets for the investigation? That's 1 a.m. Does that mean 1 a.m. tonight or 1 a.m. tomorrow? And if I like mess up my handwriting, I have to scribble it out and start a new page. It was that part is really stressful for me.
There was a lot of notes.
Yeah.
Half written.
Yeah. But anyway.
So the first night was at the Times Theater.
Okay, yes. So we actually did a double event feature at the Times Theater.
That's right.
Because before our investigation.
See, again, the whole thing is a blur.
Yeah. There was a screening of a film called A Flash of Beauty, Paranormal Bigfoot. That was really cool. So we showed up to the Times Theater, which was actually the first time we had been in there.
Mm-hmm.
We had missed out on tickets because the place is pretty small and they don't sell a lot of tickets or open it up to a large investigation. So the past 2 years we've missed out. It's been sold out.
Yeah.
So we actually got to do two events this time in the Times Theater, which is a historic theater in Seaside. Originally it opened in 1940.
Mm-hmm.
And then it closed in 1989, and it was closed for decades before it was restored and reopened as a second-run theater and a brew pub. So it's really cool. It's the Times Theater and Public House, and we got to see the screening of the Bigfoot movie.
We also had insane nachos there. Like the
vegan nachos.
They made their own chips, but they were like
potatoes.
Potato wedge,
which I guess
kind of thing. It's hard to explain, but it was the best nacho I think I've ever had in my life.
It was so good. So good.
And their beer was really good, too.
Yeah, so they have the micro brewery there, or whatever that's called. And anyway, yeah, A Flash of Beauty, Paranormal Bigfoot, which is actually the second film. The first one was just about Bigfoot sightings in general, and then in making this documentary film about Bigfoot, they realized that there are a lot of paranormal experiences around Bigfoot, which is something we are open to the idea of, rather than Bigfoot just being like a missing link type of cryptid that has been not yet fully discovered.
Yeah.
He's more of a metaphysical being or interdimensional being.
Yeah.
Of course, we don't know one way or another, but we're open to that idea in general. And so it's really cool. We did get to meet Brett Eichenberger, who is the director of the film. And we talked to him before the screening. And yeah, Rocky introduced us. It was really cool.
Yeah, we got to sit like right next to him.
Yeah.
And watch the movie that he had made, and he was a super nice guy and like super genuine, and it's just, it's so cool to see people creating something that they're passionate about and like see it come to fruition, you know.
Yeah.
Like it was on a big screen, you know, it's not like a first run movie kind of thing,
but it's available on all like streaming platforms.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's,
you can get it.
Really well done. It's cool. A lot of the people who speak in the film as experts, we recognize from like the Skinwalker Ranch documentaries and docuseries, and it's really cool. So it was awesome to get to see that like with the director of the film and the producer of the film. And they were great. And yeah, hopefully we'll get to chat with them further about some things and maybe future projects, because it was really cool. But before the film, which we did enjoy, they also screened a short film documentary, which we are in as extras. We will tell you guys more about that later when we can share the info. I think they're still shopping it. But it's something that takes place in our hometown, really special to us, and I tear up every time we see it, and this time we got to see it on the big movie theater screen. It was really cool. So that was also a great experience that night in the Haunted Times Theater. So that was a really cool experience overall, just to go and see those two films on the big screen. And then afterward, we went back to our hotel quickly to grab our gear and went straight back to the Times Theater for an investigation with DBK Investigations.
It's really something to be in Seaside at night.
Yeah.
When nobody else is around.
It's like a movie set.
Yeah, it really is.
It's quiet, and all of the structures there are almost like 50s, 60s, but like future. Like it's got the like curved signs with like the neon running along it, like a milkshake shack kind of feel. Everything is like that there.
Yeah. And all the lights are on all night. So when you go, it seems like there should be like a rowdy nightlife happening, and it's just like,
No one.
All you can hear is the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, it's so
surreal.
Surreal and creepy, and it's like the perfect setting for a ghost con.
Yeah.
You know,
really cool.
But yeah, it was cool. We walked into the theater, and they have you sign waivers, you know, just because you're in a business after hours and there's insurance stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah. And we're investigating in the dark. And so we worked that night with DBK Investigations. We've hung out with them before, and we investigated another spot with Darren from DBK last year. That was a pretty quiet night. But this one was a little more eventful. Like I said, we were really excited to be in the Times Theater. And right off the bat, we're standing in the darkened theater. You know, and we had just been there. We watched two short, you know, films. And we were comfortable. It wasn't an uneasy feeling. But I was facing the screen, and Darren was kind of talking about how the night was going to go, where we had access to, where, you know, we didn't, be careful, blah, 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 the whole thing. And I kept getting this feeling while he was talking, and I kept looking over my left shoulder up to the balcony. But it wasn't like a foreboding feeling or anything dark. I was just compelled to keep looking up there over my shoulder toward the balcony. And I don't think anyone was paying attention to me except Joss, who was to my left. And what's weird is, like, a minute later, Darren turns on his FLIR.
And the FLIR is a, like, heat-detecting device. It has a little screen, and it's, what is it? It's infrared.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a kind of gun-shaped, you know, it has a handle and a trigger and a little display on it so you can see what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. And it records, it captures the data and records it to, like, a memory card.
Yeah, and people use it for, like, wildlife, hunting, that sort of thing, and other practical uses. But it's one of those tools that has also been kind of taken over by the ghost hunting community because, theoretically, it can pick up heat signatures. Mm-hmm. So if you're detecting a cold spot or a heat signature from something that's not supposed to be there, you know, it detects those anomalies.
Yeah.
Darren's pointing it up at the balcony where I had been looking over my shoulder like several times while he was speaking. And lo and behold, he's like, "You've got a strange cold signature up there." Was it cold?
Yeah, it was cold.
Okay.
It was actually, everything on the screen is kind of degrees of red and orange to show like ambient temperatures.
Yeah.
And so as the color gets cooler on the screen, that's a drop.
It's darker.
Yeah. There was a pitch black,
like head and shoulders.
Yeah.
Like full outline of head and shoulders in one of the seats in the balcony where the bleep I had been looking.
Right. And what's really interesting is you could see the outline of the row of seats in front of it, mm-hmm. and behind it.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
like someone is sitting there. Someone very, bonkers. Very cold.
Yeah. So Darren says, "Hey man, hold this," and hands it to me.
And keeps it trained. You kept it trained on that spot.
And then Bill and Darren, mm-hmm. went up to the balcony and we were sort of directing them. Okay, so like...
Like, go. Now you're in front of it, or it's two seats to the left.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that they could see if there was physically anything there that would have been causing this anomaly on the screen.
Yeah. So I'm holding the thing. Monica's to my right. And I see her walk sort of behind my right shoulder because she's going to cross behind me.
Yeah, I was just going to go start my own, like, kind of wandering around investigation part while they checked out this anomaly on the FLIR.
So on my left sleeve, I feel something tugging on my sleeve.
But that was not me.
And I turned to look at Mo and like, ask her, like, what do you, like, what's up? What do you, you know?
Yeah.
You're getting my attention. What do you need? And I look,
and
there's
nobody
there.
Was there.
And I turn back around and she's standing to my right again.
Yeah. I had just kind of wandered behind him, but several steps. Like, I wasn't touching near his body at all. Super interesting. So that, we already got the cold spot, which is like literally a head and shoulders outline,
mm-hmm.
on the FLIR. We've got Joss before that, me being compelled to look up there.
Right.
And then something showing up on FLIR. Joss being physically touched, pulled on his jacket sleeve.
Yeah, I'll never forget that.
That's so cool.
Bonkers. So weird.
And then I just kind of head up and I'm still trying to find my, like, investigation style.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were with a group, so we weren't doing our own Fright Life investigation.
Yeah.
Of course, that I run differently. But I do like to take a back seat in these ones and, A, observe other people's investigation styles.
Yeah.
And, two, if there's a lot of action in an area, I kind of go sit and almost, like, meditate on it a little bit and see if anything comes to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I just take a step back for a bigger picture because sometimes I think if I get too, like, bullet pointy on something, then we can lose track of, like, a bigger picture. So while they're doing that, I went and sat on the opposite side of the theater and I just sat in a chair. I could see the action that was taking place. So I didn't lose sight of that, but I sort of just sat and hung out in my own, like, in the quiet. I took a back seat. I was watching the
laser grid.
The laser grid to mm-hmm. see if anything interesting was happening there. And we turned on the REM pod near where I posted up mm-hmm. in one of the theater seats. And I kept seeing shadow movement the whole night.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that, like, literally, and then the shadow movement I kept seeing to my right, that's why I told Joss, I was like, hey, set up a REM pod over there, and it was going off. Mm-hmm. And then, but it was pretty quiet. It was just, it wasn't quiet. There was a lot of action happening, but there wasn't a lot of directive or information that we were getting. You know, we weren't solving a case, like, what's your name? Why are you here?
Right.
What's this whole narrative behind? Which is something that a lot of the investigative shows do, which of course in a real investigation you're going to spend all night doing and yeah. get background info on. That's kind of what you can do. But sometimes I think they... What was that?
It's Potter.
The dog. Holy shit.
There's just a snarling sound happening. I'm going to leave that in because okay. that was creepy. But yeah, it's just Potter snoring under here.
Okay, debunked. But... Anyway, sometimes I also just like to be there as these anomalous things happen.
Yeah.
And then we all just get to share really cool, like, and then this happened, and then this happened.
Right.
So I'm watching these shadows that I see physically with my eyes mm-hmm. all night. But I'm in a new space. I'm wondering, you know, is this traffic going by? Is this this? Is this that? That's why I sit back and I watch. Because if it's traffic, you're going to see that every time a car goes by. It'll be a repetitive shadow. And while I watched shadows all night, they were different and they were human-shaped. Mm-hmm. And I still don't really know if it was with my physical eye or my, like, mind's eye.
Yeah.
You know, people tell me I have these abilities and I'm inclined to believe these people I trust. But then I'm also like, no, I don't. I'm a skeptic about these things.
Yeah.
So... While I believe there is anomalous data to collect, I don't know if I've documented enough times of myself having these little, I don't know, psychic or medium type abilities. Yeah.
That's the biggest, the biggest killer of like psychic abilities is self-doubt.
Yeah.
You know,
but I know I saw them.
Yeah.
I know for sure.
Right.
It was actually one of the strongest times that I'm like, that's a shadow.
Yeah.
Someone's moving on the staircase. Somebody's up here on the balcony.
Yeah.
But there weren't any physical people there.
Well, it was cool because there wasn't a whole lot else that happened evidence-wise. But as we regrouped down at the theater seats on the first floor mm-hmm. and they were closing the night off, you saw something. And I also saw something.
Yeah, we both
on the stairs
at the exact same time looked quickly over to our right.
Yeah.
The stairs up to the balcony on the other side. And that we had left a REM pod up there.
Mm-hmm.
And the REM pod went off.
Yes. And so Darren noticed.
Yeah.
And he's like, did you guys see something? And we were both like, yeah.
There's something, a shadow person came halfway down those balcony stairs.
Yeah.
And then the REM pod sounded.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
And we were like running out of time, but he went up there with a flashlight just to like scope it out and just make sure, you know. And he's like, I don't know, there's nothing up here.
Right.
So it was cool. That was a really solid investigation. I feel like.
I mean, it was fun. Yeah. We didn't get a lot of, like I said, we weren't going down a path to like solve any riddles, but they don't always have to be that. Sometimes it's just experiencing, like I said, the anomalous mm-hmm. activities as a group. So you're like, yes, I can validate, like, this happened. We were there. We saw you witness this, you know, that sort of thing. So that was really cool.
And, you know, big props to Darren and Bill for providing an experience.
Mm-hmm.
We had done an investigation with them the previous year, and it was very much just like, yeah, this place is kind of haunted. You guys can kind of like wander around, and they were really nice and knowledgeable, but it wasn't as well led. And so I feel like they leveled up their game a lot this year.
Well, I don't think it wasn't as well led necessarily. I think the way it also depends on where you are.
Sure.
So the way that we broke up into groups last year, and it was just Darren himself. He couldn't be in more than one place at a time. Absolutely. So that's sort of the thing. This one was more like you're in one, you have multiple little areas, but you can always see and hear everyone in mm-hmm. the group. So yeah. he could still lead it as, yeah. and he had Bill there with him sure. this time. So it was really cool. We didn't even talk about the Estes method though, because we used the Estes method.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
So if you're not familiar, the Estes method is when you have a sitter, so the person who volunteers to be blindfolded and have noise-canceling headphones on with a spirit box going through the headphones. Mm-hmm. So then the practice is the people who are not the sitter are asking questions out loud to the, quote, spirits or entities.
Right.
And the sitter cannot hear those questions, but they can hear what comes through the spirit box.
Yeah.
And so they're just shouting out randomly what they think they're hearing through the spirit box. And we're trying to see if that correlates to the questions being asked. So it's a really cool experiment.
Yep.
And we did that method actually at both investigations during this weekend.
Yeah.
And so this first one was, we just had one sitter and we just did one experiment.
Yep.
Of the Estes. And it was really interesting. So it seemed like the entities in the theater were just having us chase it around.
Yeah, it really, it, I mean, you're dead on, because it started in the balcony at the top right.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Bill and Darren went up there, it was moving while they were up there.
Yeah.
And then it kind of like, we lost track of it. But then it started to move over to the
I
left side.
But then I felt it down the side where I was sitting. And then we saw it come down those stairs. Yeah. And then the Estes answers that the sitter was kind of shouting out were kind of like, almost like a come and get me.
Yeah.
Like, what are you, who are you? What are you doing?
That's
you
know? Right.
Like,
yeah.
It was very like, some, if you are inclined to interpret things darker, could take that. I just thought they were kind of a jackass. Like, yeah. just like, we're just going to mess around with these people who, you know, think they can come in here and like get any kind of answer from me.
Right.
So to me, it was more playful, bantery.
And the energy in the room was not
heavy.
Heavy or yeah, scary at all.
Nice. Right.
It was really, it was just a good time.
Yeah.
And while we were capturing,
like, it was
cool
squirrely
evidence, yeah.
for sure.
Right.
But I appreciated that. Like, I picked up kind of a feeling of like this jackass, like, yeah. kind of just funny, like messing around with an old prankster friend.
Right. Yeah,
that's what I got energy wise totally. From it. But so yeah, it was super fun.
And I think we ended the night at around like 1 o'clock in the morning or something like
yeah.
that, and then went back to the hotel room, ate some snacks, and crashed out.
Yeah,
right away. And then we were back up and at it like at 7 the next morning, because mm-hmm. we had to get back into the convention center and set up our table for, you know, the main day.
Yeah.
And we spent the day, you know, talking to people, and we actually had a couple listeners come up to us and be like, we just wanted to say hi, you know.
Yeah, that was really cool. We get kind of like a spiel going where you're like, hi, do you listen to podcasts? Take a sticker. We've got a show. It's paranormal, obviously. We're at the Ghost Conference. Blah, blah, blah. If you end up listening, let us know what you think. We've yeah. also got some merch here, you know, if you're inclined. And I went to do my little, so do you listen to podcasts? And as I'm saying it, I did recognize this person. You get kind of caught up in the moment and the, well, not even the moment, I guess. You get caught up in the, all of it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're in a rush and, you know, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So I'm overstimulated, but I recognized her as I'm saying it, and she's like, oh yeah, we listen to podcasts, you're one of my favorite podcasts. And I was like, oh my gosh, like,
your
I was so excited, I wanted
exploded.
To just yeah jump up and hug her. And then I remembered as she was walking away the whole interaction we had with her the first year.
Yeah,
so that was really cool. I wish I would have remembered before that, but it like all came back to me as she was like walking down to the next booth and the next booth.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to chase her down and be like, I remember you now. Thanks so much for listening.
Just shaking her shoulders.
Yeah. But she was there with her daughter. They were checking out our stickers and mentioned that she's already a listener and loves the show. So that was really great.
It was, I don't know, sort of validating. It's not like we're, you know, well, actually, we just hit a crazy good milestone of 25,000 downloads, which is super cool.
Really cool. Especially, we started off the first 2 years as very occasional hobby.
Yeah.
And now we really want to make something of this. So it's really cool to see it growing. And I hope it just continues to do that so that we can put more time and effort into it. Because it's, you know, something I've wanted to do since I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. I didn't know exactly how to make the paranormal my career.
Yeah.
And now obviously, like, as we've grown up, I'm like, oh, these people are doing it this way. And now there's TV shows about it. And now there's this. And how do I get into that? And obviously I don't want it to just be the podcast. I'd love to have a show. I'd love to continue writing.
Yeah.
You know, I've said that before. So we're doing those things. And,
well, just
it's been great, and it'll be.
Thanks so much for listening.
Yeah,
we're not ending this episode, but you know, genuinely, thanks for 25,000 downloads, because that's just so cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we spend the day, you know,
mingling,
pulling people out of the line and giving them the spiel.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we have some new listeners, and if you're listening and we met you at the Oregon Ghost Conference, hey, what's up?
Yeah, thanks so much.
And then came time for us to do our presentation.
Oh, yeah.
And we...
No, but just before the presentation, let me get to my...
Oh, that's...
My fumble.
Okay, so, yes. I forgot that happened.
When I had heard that Lloyd Auerbach was going to be at the Ghost Conference, I was like so stoked about this. And I wrote down, I'm going to ask him this question. I'm going to talk to him about my theory about telekinesis being like a symptom of trauma, which comes out as poltergeist and how it's misinterpreted and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, all this intelligent, intellectual, academic scope of the paranormal, which is what he does. And then he walked by our table, probably like an hour before our presentation. Yeah. And
I think you were still like editing slides for the presentation when he walked by.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is my moment. I'm going to talk to him. I'm so excited. And he walked by and Joss was all charismatic, Joss. And I get up and I'm like, it's so nice to meet you. I'm a paranormal investigator, sort of. And he's like, sort of. And I'm like, what the fuck did I just... How do I fix that? I'm like, well, yes. I mean, I am one. I do that? And he's like, all right, bye. And he just kept walking. And I was like, what did I just do?
Yeah, she was in shambles after that. It was...
And then I had to go up on stage.
Yeah.
So what I did do was add that to my presentation because it's part of this whole thing where I love what we're doing. It's introduced me to a lot of cool things. You know, I'm a published writer now. All of these dreams are coming true, you know, but we're not like, people aren't recognizing us in public. Actually, that did happen one time.
Yeah.
But not in like a braggable way, just like we would love for that to happen because that would mean that we're being well received and can continue to do what we're doing.
Yeah.
Now, I also want to be taken seriously in an academic way. And a lot of times in my life that doesn't happen because of my love for fashion and makeup and all things girly as well. So that's something I struggle with already. But then when you also put in my like super nervousness, and that is the fact why I love writing everything down, and a podcast is perfect because I can record and edit and look at my notes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of too many things in the back of my mind when you're face to face with me. So sometimes I sound like I have no brains in my head. I'm telling you, I do. But sometimes when I am thinking of too many things at once, yeah. I cannot sift through. I cannot organize my thoughts yeah. at all. So I did that. But I added that to my presentation and I made it a thing where I was like, you know, be sure of yourself in this industry, but not too sure of yourself where you come off unapproachable or like you know everything, because none of us know.
Yeah.
You can do so much research in this field and it's all still theoretical.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all still your idea helps validate my idea. And my, it's very like communal.
Yeah.
All of it.
And it has to be.
Right. And it should be. And, but then also don't have that imposter syndrome where you stand up to one of your heroes you get to meet for the first time and say, I am a paranormal investigator, sort of.
I do looking at the ghost too, though, I also sometime.
Like the things that spooky. Yeah, it was so dumb. But so I added that in.
At least you didn't stand up and go, I am also spooky.
I mean, maybe that would have been better. I don't know. Because I diminished myself yeah. is what I did. And that's because he has a degree in this and, you know, academic articles published and data.
Yeah.
And I'm not to that point yet, but I'm in line with so many theories he has and the way that he studies it, you know.
Yeah, you could so it's, hold an intelligent conversation with this person.
But I did not.
But you did not.
And so I added it to my presentation. I feel like it went really well because I'm nothing if not charmingly self-deprecating.
Yeah.
Because I want to be real also, you know.
Right.
And I just sort of made it part of the message where I do have that imposter syndrome. But you've got to snap out of that because we're all, you know, in it for the same reasons.
Yeah.
Well, most of us. And you usually know who those people are and who they aren't pretty quickly. So, yeah.
So our presentation was our experience as podcasters in the paranormal
yes.
field. And we kind of talked about how we got started and what we do and what our process is and all that stuff. And it went really well. We had a video and we had music and stuff this time. And, you know, it was cool for me, the like tech and design.
Yeah, it looked really good.
Yeah, it was like yeah. polished. Like it turned out really well and all the cues were working and we finished up. And we walked off the stage and we were met by a crowd of people
oh, yeah. who
had heard like a little girl's voice coming through the speaker.
Through the mics.
Yeah. While we were talking and just through one section of our presentation that had no sound, you know, other than us talking.
Yeah.
And then it didn't happen again. And there was like a bunch
of people. Multiple people were like, I heard that too. I heard that. And it was when we were talking, we had talked about a little ghost girl, by the way, because that's one of Joss's personal experiences. Yep. So super weird. I mean, it could have been feedback or pick up, you know, something picked up on another, but I don't think so. I mean, they were presentations, they're back to back presentations
yeah.
and no one had this experience during their presentations. And it just reminded Joss of how we always have random little things like that happen while we're recording.
Yeah, it just seems like anytime we have a microphone going and we're talking about spooky shit, it's just happening around us.
Yeah.
That's
like a fun unplanned bit,
yeah.
like for real.
Yeah.
That we didn't expect, but it's like perfect. Well, yeah,
and Olivia and Avery both heard it.
Yeah.
So
oh, you mean the two tweens we brought with us who showed up halfway through our presentation?
Yeah.
They're supposed to be there like our crew and they walk in. We're like halfway through it and they both saunter up to the front row and sit down.
And wave at us when they get there.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But yeah, they heard there was some little girl voice. Or a little kid, I guess.
Yeah.
Can't really tell.
Right.
And they couldn't make out what they were saying, but it was over enough like
vocal tones yeah. happening. Yeah.
Interesting.
So,
But yeah, later. It went well.
Yeah, it was great. And then we finished off the rest of the con day, mm-hmm. Just meeting and greeting and talking to people and kind of wandering around the vendor booths. And the thing about the Oregon Ghost Conference is that you are in such good company. Everybody is there for the same reason.
Yeah.
Like, we all just want to hang out and be spooky. Mm-hmm. And so there's just this, like, feeling of everybody's friends, even though we've never met.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Yeah, there's a lot of support. After I gave the whole thing about imposter syndrome, and I worked that thing with Lloyd into the end of the speech kind of thing, mm-hmm. as an inspirational thing to myself and also others who are looking to get into this, which is kind of what the thing was about. A woman from the Taps family, mm-hmm. who works directly with Jason Hawes, and if you're in this kind of spooky realm of things and you've watched, he was the original ghost hunter with Taps.
Yeah.
And he is an expert in this, as in, I mean, he's in a lot of documentaries speaking on different things, and
yeah, he's knowledgeable and well respected as somebody who's like legitimate in the field.
Yeah. Which, I mean, so is this woman who came up and she said, "Do not have that." She said, "I work directly with Jason Hawes. He's one of the OGs, the big dogs." You know, this is, I'm paraphrasing, this is not how she introduced him, but she said, and she worked with a newer investigator who was showing great promise and really intelligent. And she went to introduce this person to Jason at one of their TAPS events. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, Jason gave her a big hug and, you know, "Great to see you." And she turned around to introduce the investigator she brought with her, and she had taken off. She just didn't even stick around to say hi because she was too nervous. And it's one of those things, like, we're all just people interested in the same thing.
Yeah.
And finding answers or collecting data or sharing stories. So it's, you know, that was really cool. And she showed support. She came over and she was like, "I was moved by you saying that."
Yeah.
"Because I've seen so many people have that issue where they think because this person is on a pedestal or they've been, you know, on the shows, or, but they also are excited when people get into this field."
Right.
"And they're doing it the right way and they're doing the research and they're genuine and all of that." So
totally.
Really cool.
We also met Matt and Chris from
Ghost Loop.
That was fun. Those guys were really, really cool.
I only met Matt personally.
Right.
He was really nice, really charismatic. And, you know, he came over and he's like, "I saw you guys on Everyday Northwest."
Yeah.
So.
And we showed him some evidence that we had collected from the year before, because they came up to us to ask about the investigation at
the Masonic Lodge.
Masonic Lodge.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. It was just, it was neat because those guys have been, you know, on Discovery Channel or whatever mm-hmm. network, you know, and they, just like you were saying with like the Jason from Ghost Hunters.
Yeah.
Like, they were excited that we had captured evidence and they wanted to talk to us about that.
Right.
You know, they weren't like, "Well, we're a big deal because we're on a show, so, you know, we don't care what you guys have been up to." Like, they were genuinely excited to hear our story.
Yeah. And actually, so that night we went on another investigation. Mm-hmm. The guys from Ghost Loop were part of the earlier investigation of the Masonic Lodge. And that's when why we said, "Hey, there was a lot of action there last year."
Yeah.
The year we had gone in and collected the best EVP I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
And that was actually Natalie from Ghostoria got it on her voice recorder.
Yep.
I was filming just with my iPhone. And we've shared it before, but we'll share it again, and we're going to be making reels of all of these things pretty soon. But we were telling them about that. And what's really cool is those guys stuck around after multiple investigations and were still there when we were there for our late night one. So yeah, that was fun.
They were like on their way out when we showed up, and they're like, "Oh, you guys are doing this one?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll stay for this one too."
Yeah. That was cool.
And they had some really great banter with Nat and
Sig
from Ghostoria. And that night was really cool. There was a big group. The Masonic Lodge is a really interesting space, and the energy that's there is so, like, you can feel it when you walk in.
So when we first walked in, we can say this.
Yeah.
We're out of our timeline now because we went to a different event first, but we can loop back around.
Okay. Yeah.
So we'll talk about our investigation because we were talking about the ghost loop guys. They were there. Okay.
It's segues.
It goes. Yeah, okay. That's fine. And then we'll backtrack a little because it doesn't really matter. What time did we do this Masonic Lodge investigation?
It was the late one. So it started at like 11:30 or something like that.
That's not the late one.
It was late for us.
Yeah.
I was tired.
Yeah. Yes. I remember being very thankful that it wasn't the super late one because we've done like the 12:15 a.m.
Yeah.
to 2 investigation. Yeah. Okay. So, but it was late. It's a long day, you know, when you're up at 6 something. And you're out on the floor all day and presenting and all that. So we pull up to the Masonic Lodge. The guys from Ghost Loop are there. Ghostoria, they are the investigation team hosting this investigation. And we're just guests. So we go in. Right when I walk in, I feel like someone... I don't feel physical touch on my body, but... It's almost like exactly that, but it was like someone shoved me down.
Yeah.
I felt so dizzy, like just an immediate vertigo, but like I was actually being like pushed over in like a whooshing. It was so weird.
It's almost like being underwater.
Yes. I was going to say like you're in water because it was very like sway pushy. Like if someone shoves you, you're going to just like fly sideways.
Yeah.
This was a very like weird jello-ed feeling. And we had been just like outside joking around with the Ghost Loop guys for a second. So it wasn't, I don't walk into these things scared.
Right.
You know, and it was a total different feeling and experience than the Times Theater the night before. I want ghost data. If I wake up from a bad dream at night, I turn on the ghost investigation shows. Yeah. That part is not what I'm afraid of in, like, the realm of scary things.
Right.
I've talked about that before. It's actually a comfort to me if there are ghosts.
Yeah.
Right? So, there's no reason for me to be scared. But this was a heavy feeling, like I was shoved down and pushed down. Like, there's just weight crushing me.
It's
disorienting.
It's so weird. But it's just when you walk in. It's that front.
So we're like chatting, like, oh yeah, and this is going to be cool. We did this last year. And I'm like just crushed in like to a tiny little jellied cube.
Yep.
It was so bizarre. But then I walk through the threshold and we go and find seats and everything feels fine again.
Yeah.
It was super weird.
Yeah.
It's like a pressure change.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then, Nat went around and showed her cool gear. This year, they had something that I want to get my hands on, and it's a bell, like a bellhop bell, and it's rigged up to read, like, the electromagnetic field, and when that's broken, the bell dings.
Yep.
And it's a delightful sound, like those just little hotel bells.
Yeah.
And what I think, theoretically, if you were going to be communicating with spirits from a different time, I think something like that makes way more sense than like come over to this light up device that looks like it's from the future future and touch it, but don't be scared, but touch it, because when you touch it an alarm goes off,
right?
And that alarm will tell us that you're here. I mean, I would hesitate if I'm placed, so even take ghosts out of it, and you're just like suddenly in a spot where you are unfamiliar with anyone and anything around you.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, hey, we think you're over there, but if you're over there, check out this strange device you've never seen before, and then come over and put your hand on it. And if you put your hand on it, it's going to sound off loud alarms.
Yeah.
I would be like, no, thanks.
Yeah, right.
And so to me, it makes way more sense that it's like, here, come approach this object you may be more familiar with, and then it's just going to be a nice little bell sound.
Yeah.
No lights, no alarms. You know, in comparison to the REM pod we put out in front of us, it just seemed more, it was more pleasing.
Yeah.
And it was just really cool when it would go off.
Okay, but the coolest thing was when we set up for the Estee session and we had a couple of different people go and sit, you know, blindfolded, headphones, thing was going. There were people throwing questions out there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of difficult to do like a proper investigation when you have a room full of people. But what was really, really compelling is as people were throwing out questions and the sitter was giving out answers, the bell would ding when the person would give an
give
answer.
Give a response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like clockwork.
Yeah. It was almost
every time.
Yeah. It was almost every time.
It was wild. And I don't think that we necessarily heard specific answers to specific questions.
There were a few times, actually.
I don't remember them.
No. I do remember somebody brought out some trigger items, which were like a tea set that a lot of the Masons' daughters would have had.
Oh.
It was like a gift set that was like a regular thing. I don't know. And when they brought that out, the person doing the Estes said, "My baby."
Oh.
And I thought that was interesting because if, like, you're an old Mason ghost and you recognize that object from giving it to your child,
right?
You would have said that. We didn't make that connection in the moment,
right?
But I thought about it later.
And
I was like, I wonder if that was them.
That's cool.
Oh, my baby. Just like having a remembrance of, of that.
And there was a lot of really interesting temperature changes that were happening.
Oh yeah, that was crazy because we had our REM pod set up almost directly at our feet, but far enough away to not be triggered by us, because that's one of the things that gives off the electromagnetic field, and when that's broken by somebody moving into the field, it sounds and lights up. But it also lights up differently when it indicates a temperature change, a drastic one.
Right.
And we had all been noting a temperature change. We've picked it up just with our own body.
Right.
So everyone sitting in that area of the benches, we were suddenly like, whoa, does it feel really cold? Here, put your hand here. Feel right here.
Yeah.
And we were getting it like at our shin level.
Right.
Where it was like a drastic difference. So we look around. You're supposed to, you know, did the AC kick on? Is there a window? Is there a draft coming in this way? And, you know, possibly there wasn't anything specific that we noted was different. And then the REM pod started going off. But after we already, like, biosensor figured out that there was a drastic temperature change.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. That was neat. Unfortunately, we didn't get any really good EVPs this time. But it was a great night. There were some spooky things happening.
Yeah.
We had so much fun hanging out with Ghostoria and Matt and Chris from Ghost Loop. And they were hilarious. And we actually ended the night. And did I go on the ghost walk before that? So now we're all out of order.
Yeah, we're out of order because earlier in the night, we had two other events. One was a psychometry gallery reading with Ankasha Amenti.
Yes.
She is a psychic medium and she practices psychometry. Psychometry is where you can read an item rather than a person or someone who has, like, a spirit, someone who has died.
Right.
So she can hold an object and see or feel the history of that object, who has owned it, what has happened in the life of this object. So that's called psychometry. She practices that. Ankasha is a world-renowned psychic medium, and we have had the pleasure of witnessing her gallery readings more than once.
Yeah.
She's also worked with Lloyd Auerbach. She's just the real deal.
Absolutely.
She is Winbridge certified.
Yeah.
Which is like an institution that puts these psychic mediums through a series of blind tests.
Yeah. So cool.
To like prove their psychic abilities.
Yep.
So really cool. And she, yeah, blows me away every time. Plus, she's just a really great person. Like, yeah. She gives off the best energy. And I really enjoy.
She's so like, gets up on the stage and she's like, okay, I'm here and we're going to do this and we're all going to have a good time and everything's going to be fine. And she just has this kind of like flow about her mm-hmm. where you just are like, okay, I'm here for it.
Yeah. But she's like very, yeah, she seems very grounded and mm-hmm. intellectual.
Yeah.
But still like approachable and spiritual and, you know.
She's a whimsical being.
Yeah, but not like floofy or flighty. Yeah. Like very whimsical, but also grounded and intelligent. Yeah. And like, she's just really cool. Really good energy. And she says some really amazing, astounding things that people are like, just lose it over in a good way. Do you remember
the context of that? There was something to do with a dog story. And she was like,
she had a lot of dog stuff this time. And she made a joke about it. Like, there were a lot of pets coming through.
Yeah.
It was really interesting during this reading.
But there was one that, like, really got everybody. And, like, you just looked around and everybody had tears. I can't remember what the context of it was. Gosh darn it. But
she was doing psychometry, so people brought items to the reading.
Right.
And somebody had handed her, I think it was, like, a set of ornaments.
Okay.
Like Christmas ornaments. Uh-huh. And it had nothing to do with pets.
Right.
They were just two, like, it was like letters, initials mm-hmm. that you would hang either on a tree or, you know, whatever. And she was like, why am I getting? And at first she was like, seemed confused because she was probably trying to decipher it before just like blurting it out.
Yeah.
And it turns out that these objects were getting moved by someone. There was some underlying drama, I believe, in this person's story. Mm-hmm. And of course, you're not privy to everything.
Yeah.
You know, you only get little glimpses into these people's lives, which is what's so interesting about a gallery reading, too. It's mm-hmm. like you're all crying, you're all there for each other. You love when someone else gets a reading.
Yeah.
Even though you're like, please pick me. Like, I want my person to come through.
Yeah.
And then you get these little personal glimpses where you're like, it's weird I'm here for such a personal thing,
right.
But like we're all there in good faith.
And now we're all crying.
Yeah. Anyway, so it turned out that there was some like bad blood, and the people who brought these things, they kept getting taken down or moved or something mm-hmm. in their house, and they thought there was some ill intent behind whatever spirit or entity was doing that. But instead of highlighting that, Ankasha did say like, yeah, you don't worry about that person. Like, that person is not here for you, but you don't need that person. Because the entity who is here for you, and it was their dog.
Yeah.
And she fully got the name of the dog.
Right.
And their whole, like, the last things they said to the dog, which could be, you know, a standard thing.
Yeah.
But the way that it all rolled out where the ornaments had nothing to do with the dog. It was like really, really interesting mm-hmm. and cool. And like, how did you like get that out of that?
So important.
Yeah.
That the message of the dog to know.
Like, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
I will be here waiting for you on the other side
right.
and happy to see you and supportive of your life.
Yeah.
Even if this person is not.
Right.
And then that was sort of a lesson too, where she's like, not everyone like gets to the other side. It's not like they're evil spirits, but just like here walking around in this realm where we're like, I don't F with that person. I like this person. Nope. You don't come around me.
Yeah.
It could be the same thing over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was interesting.
It was so cool. And then I ended up going on a ghost tour of Seaside with Rocky. He invited us to go, but Mo wasn't feeling great and the kids were tired. So I just went and I ran into my friend from high school, Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
which was neat because, like,
we also just, like, see Scotty everywhere.
Yeah.
Joss was like, I feel like we're supposed to interact with him more.
Yeah,
because we don't really, but we're always, like, crossing paths.
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, in a video game, like, a kind of an open world thing, or, you know, I'm old school, so I'm thinking, like, Zelda or Star Tropics, right, where you keep coming across the same person who's, like, blip, 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 here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you ignore that and you move on to something else, but then you come across that same person and you're like, maybe I'm supposed to see what this side quest is about.
Yeah.
We had a little laugh about how, like, that is us always crossing paths with Scotty. Yep. Like, we're supposed to play this out a different way.
Yeah.
At some point, maybe, like, actually make plans. Guy. Yeah.
He's just so great. So anyway, we went on the ghost tour and Rocky had shared some stories about the convention center and how there's a whole like wing of it that's closed down that they don't use anymore.
Because of ghosts,
basically. Yeah. It's like this back hallway where they keep all the chairs and tables.
Where they keep all the ghosts.
That's, yeah, pretty much. But there's like a bunch of, you know, just people who worked there or had helped put the conference together in past years. And there's, I guess there's a bathroom back there too that just has like creepy vibes.
Ew.
And it was just cool to get a new story about a place that we've been to several times.
Yeah.
Where there's like full-bodied apparitions are seen in this back hallway that you can't even get to now because they lock it up.
Cool.
They don't use it. So anyway, went on the ghost tour and then went back to the hotel, picked up Mo and the kids, and then we went to the investigation. Yeah,
I wanted to go on that, but I needed a downtime because there was a lot of go, go, go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the ghost conference in general is a lot of go, go, go. Yeah, and I mean, so after the investigation, we wound down, we crashed out. The next morning, Sunday is like closing day, so it's a little bit slower.
No, but there were a lot of new people there on Sunday.
There was a good flow of foot traffic through. We handed out, I don't know, 100,000 business cards.
Yeah.
And Mo decided, before this episode gets like so crazy long, Mo decided that she was unsatisfied with her conversation with Lloyd Auerbach and decided that she was going to go to his booth.
Oh, I did go talk to him.
And like set the record straight. And it was so awesome.
Yeah. I was like, I'm sorry. I was nervous. Let's try this again. I'd like to buy your book. And he signed it. That was really cool. And then I said, I had prepared a bunch of stuff to talk to you about. I feel like we don't have time now, but I'd love to just like start a conversation. And he's like, yeah, contact me.
Yeah,
like,
send me an email.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but we did a back and forth. I talked to him about, you know, a brief initial, like, jumping off point about my theory.
Yeah. And he was genuinely intrigued by it.
Yeah.
And he wanted to, like, have more conversation about it. So it was neat and validating.
Yeah. And I talked more to Clyde Lewis that day, who they interviewed me briefly last year for his show. But we talked more and talked about me possibly going on his show. And I need to just like follow up with all these things because we didn't last year. And we just really need to do more following up.
Yeah.
I also spoke with James Clarkson. I am a big fan of his. He is a MUFON investigator, a retired police detective from Aberdeen, Washington, and an author. And he wrote a book I'm super interested in and we will be covering soon on the podcast. And he may even be on our podcast or, you know, we're going to have conversations with him to work on the information for that episode at least, even if he doesn't come on to do an interview. But he wants to and agreed that he would. He's also the master of ceremonies at this year's UFO Fest in McMinnville.
Oh, yeah.
So, really cool.
We bought platinum tickets to that or whatever. We're going to go for sure. It's going to be awesome.
But yeah, I'm a huge fan of his and I got to speak with him and I did not mess up this time.
Yep.
And we were having a chat about all of the new, like the Arrow report and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's just the latest, basically, it's the Condon report all over again.
Yeah.
And he was like, you just moved to the head of the class. And I was like, ding, I love being at the head of the class. So I redeemed my pride a little bit with that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he wants to do some more work with us. So we've got to follow up there. And that was really kind of that last day is just like re-upping with people.
Yeah. It's a winding down day.
Connections, making plans to do something later.
Yeah. But again, it's just the community that's there.
Yeah. We met the lovely ladies from Shook Podcast.
Yes.
And Amanda at Pretty Effin' Spooky. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah, definitely check out both of them.
Yeah. I just love making these connections.
Yeah. It's cool to have friends, and then, you know, hopefully we'll see them again somewhere down the line. And
yeah. And Shook Podcast, they're not from here.
Yeah. They traveled. Made the journey from Nashville. No, they were going to Nashville next.
Yeah. They were on like a whole circuit.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Those guys were cool.
Yeah.
Really cool podcast. You should check it out if you are looking for more spooky podcasts.
Yeah. And then all the content that Pretty Effin' Spooky is putting out.
She's got a blog and, you know, TikTok, Instagram.
Love her aesthetic, everything.
Yeah, she's super cool. And then, you know, we packed up and had ice cream at one of the amazing little ice cream shops in Seaside.
Mm-hmm.
And then drove home, and it was just, as usual, such a pleasant and spooky experience.
Yeah, we loved it. We can't wait for next year. But like I said, we're gonna make more follow-up connections this time, because it is such a cool thing. All of these people are doing fantastic work in the field of the paranormal. Mm-hmm. We met a team that is developing that app for UFO reporting.
Yeah.
You know, we talked to them last year when they were very first, you know, starting that up.
Yeah, and they're getting really close to launching now.
Yeah. And one of the guys from their team was in the military and worked with Lou Elizondo and like is in
freaking
in
crazy.
The thing.
Yeah.
Like in the stuff. In it. So hopefully they'll be at the UFO Fest and we can follow up with them there too.
Yeah.
Because we sort of had to have our spooky hats on for this one, and we really need to gear up for the UFO Fest and talk
to
people there.
That's gonna be so fun.
Yeah. So all of these things, all of these events, we say this every time. If you have local events and you're into this sort of thing, definitely check them out. Consider traveling to nearby conferences when you can too.
Yeah.
It's just a really cool, safe space for people interested in all of this strange, spooky, and unusual stuff.
Safe and super welcoming.
Yeah.
Like everybody is.
At least
so
in
nice.
Our experience.
Yeah.
But I would hope that that's
I'm sure.
what this community does elsewhere as well. And I think that it does.
I have faith. If you would like to get a hold of us, you can find us at FrightLifeParanormal.com. We have a contact page there. You can also view past episodes. There are links to our social media pages. We even have some merch for sale there if you're so inclined to pick up a cool Fright Life t-shirt.
Like you should.
Like you should.
We have links to The Feminine Macabre, Volume 4 and Volume 6.
We'll have a purchase page for Volume 6, which Mo has just recently been published in.
Yes.
So you can pick that up through us.
But also just check out the rest of the volumes of that beautiful book curated by Amanda Woomer. You can check all of her projects out on her social media at Spook Eats and at The Feminine Macabre. Really great paranormal journal. And I'm proud to be a part of it and super honored. Definitely check out OregonGhostConference.com. They will be making updates throughout the year as they plan for next year, and Northwest Ghost Tours as well. And if anyone wants to come visit and check out a spooky ghost tour put on by Rocky Smith in the super haunted hometown of ours, of Oregon City, come by.
Yeah, let us know.
We'll show you around.
We'll show you around. For sure.
We hope you've had a frightful time with us here at Fright Life, a paranormal podcast.
Thanks so much for listening, you guys. We'll see you next time.